T-Man Ronnie Adams on the other end of this line. I know better. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're live. Source Materials hitting the airwaves right now. I think I just put out a tweet, and it's in English. I started a live stream right here tonight. We are recording for later air on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network. Our contribution to Pirates Week, arr, matey. And I think we're kicking it off. I don't think the 411 Ground and Pound is going to be putting a pirate show up. Source Material is going to hop right in there. We are covering, it's a swashbuckling hero, I would say, from the Marvel Universe. We'll talk a little bit about that, but we're talking Nightcrawler, the 2014 series. And of course, none of them, my two favorite guests here on Source Material, my good buddy Ronnie Adams from the Screaming Boy podcast. I told my wife that is how I've only seen you like 3 or 4 times in my entire life. Every time I see you, what do I say? I say Ronnie Adams from the Screaming Boy podcast.
Every single time, it never fails. It's awesome.
Welcome to the show, man. How you doing this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
I have not ate Indian food. How's that?
Well, I don't know who told you they did. They'd be a fool to eat Indian food and then want to do a podcast.
Oh, well, if you got a wireless headset, just let us know. Mute us. Flush, flush. Wipe twice, flush once.
Dear God, man.
On my second guest, the patriarch of the Radulich and Broadcasting Network, the man who, all I got to say is he doesn't respect his toys. We're just going to have to put it out there like that. His name is Mark Radulich. Good evening, sir. How do you do?
My full name is adult male, 40-year-old. He doesn't have to play with toys like a child. Toys go to children.
Nobody said anything about playing with them. You just have to, if they're from the 80s, you got to respect them.
That's right. Respect them. I took a picture of my Triclops, my legless Triclops.
Yeah, I saw that.
Legless. Not Legolas. Legless. And that was all thanks to my 3-year-old son who just...
How old was he when he did that?
I'm certain that he... it's not like this kid grabs him and with intent just takes him and draws and quarters my action figures.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure at some point he just... grabbed one of the legs and started, twisting the guy around in the air or something crazy like that, which I could see easily happening.
That's when you grab his legs and start twisting too.
You guys are mean. Toys are to be played with by children, not like obsessed over by adults. Now, I get Ronnie, who speaks for the trees and lives alone in a tower.
No, sir, I don't live alone in a tower.
Okay, I understand that Ronnie, is always plotting against the Smurfs with his cat, Azrael.
I'm not Gargamel.
But us adult men who have children really should not be obsessing over toys. I'm just going to put that out there.
All right, well, we'll leave it out there. Ladies and gentlemen, please feel free to contact us. Let us know what you think of that statement.
It's all not right. An obsession.
This is a great topic for absolutely another podcast. Because tonight, to get on track, we're discussing Nightcrawler. And Mark, again, you brought this one to the table. Was this another one of those hop on Goodreads? What do we got? What can we look at? Or something spoke to you about Nightcrawler? Because, when you think pirates... Yeah, I can't say that immediately my mind goes to Nightcrawler. What led you to Nightcrawler?
Nightcrawler is known as the swashbuckling, teleporting elf mutant. When we were thinking about pirate comics, nothing immediately jumped out at any of us in our discussion of it. We figured, let's go check it out. And I looked at the Amazon reviews of the first 6 issues of Nightcrawler, Volume 1. It wasn't bad, it got good reviews. Flipping through the book, the art is very colorful, very lively. This is a good story here. So why not? Why not, in a week where we're discussing pirates, talk about a character that's associated with swashbuckling and pirates in his own right?
Agreed. Ronnie Adams, our creative team, Chris Claremont. You ever heard of that name?
Mm-mm. Yes, of course I have.
He's been around for quite a while. You remember anything specific by him at all?
Claremont? Oh, man.
Goblin man kills.
Well, other than that.
I'm looking here. Yeah. He's got a writing career apparently in comics since 1969. So, yeah, he's been around the 80s and the 70s. But most notably, I remember seeing his name a lot on the X, tied to the X-Men.
It was all X titles that I remember. I remember he did some Cyberforce. He had his hands in a lot of stuff, like Excalibur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly X titles. God loves Man Kills. Alpha Flight, things like that.
One of the longest writing careers on X-Men. He had 17 years on X-Men.
I didn't realize that.
Dark Phoenix Saga, Days of Future Past, all fall under that. I'm looking at a lot of things here that he wrote. And man, yeah, when you think X-Men, this guy's name comes up. So when you see his name attached to another property here, especially in 2014, you wonder what more could he bestow upon us, especially taking the character Nightcrawler, penning a tale from that point forward. Now, I don't know if their intention was for this to be an ongoing series or if they were just shooting for a 12-issue. Mark, do you know if this series ended or if it just continued? Because we're talking 2014. I think they're up to like issue 12, so that would maybe more than that. Any idea?
No, I was under the assumption that it ends at issue 12, but okay. I can't swear by that.
I think I've got it here. As of 2014, Claremont was under an exclusive contract for Marvel. In April of that year, Marvel launched the Nightcrawler series with Claremont as a writer, which he finished in March of 2015. So that right there, yeah, 12 issues. As prolific as Chris Claremont is as a writer, we have an artist by the name of Todd Nauck. Nauck, N-A-U-C-K. So, no, I've never heard of him. Ronnie?
No.
Mark?
No.
Okay, all right. Ronnie, why don't you do your best to explain who Nightcrawler is and his power set?
Nightcrawler is an X-Men who actually looks, oddly enough, like a demon. Blue skin, three fingers on each hand, two toes and one toe in the back of his foot, prehensile tail. But he's very agile. He was a circus performer before he was ever an X-Man. He's German. He's a man of faith. He's a very devout Catholic, which really is very cool because of his looks. I mean, he is very much the saint of the team. He's the moral compass, has been for some time. They've even called him that, I believe. But everybody, when they see him, they yell demon. He was based after Errol Flynn, which, oddly enough, is a swashbuckling, you know, was known for his swashbuckling roles back in, you know, as an actor. So fencing, he likes to fence. He can, you know, a lot of sword play, things like that. Very interesting character, very dynamic character, and how they, you know, a lot of layers to him. He's got one of the most confusing backgrounds I've ever heard of in comic book history. So,
yeah, I remember seeing, like, I mean, he's mixed up with Mystique. There's all sorts of stuff from, like, a character by the name of Azazel, which
is his dad.
That's his dad, yeah.
His adopted mother shows up in this, who was part of the circus, you know, in Germany. His dad once tried to take over heaven. It's just weird stuff, man. Excuse me.
I've always enjoyed of the X-Men Nightcrawler as a character. I thought he was one of the more well-developed ones. I enjoyed the fact that he was the sort of the moral compass of the team, sort of the soul of the team. That's really it. He's one of the few that isn't overpowered.
Yeah. I thought of all the X-Men, probably the coolest, because I don't know how many times I've sat in traffic and just wish I could bamf my ass to work. Because if you could see it, you could teleport. And it was, I mean, you could teleport for miles. And of course, as we get into this, we find out that his powers have actually increased a little bit here. But yeah, I like what you talked about, Ronnie, about how he's a man of faith. And a devout Catholic. And when people see him, they think he's, you know, from hell. And it's such an interesting contradiction. And when you think about when they sat down to flesh this character out, it really had to have taken some thought to put that all in there. Mm-hmm. Of course, they've had years and years of continuity they can use, or story writing that they could use to make him more interesting. But I've always liked that about him as well. We're getting into 2014, and I want to preface this a little bit from stuff I read from the wiki, because I had to go in there because there's a lot of backstory that happens prior to this. I'll just shorten it this way. Nightcrawler died at one point. There was a mission or something that occurred where the X-Men actually had to go into heaven and try to mm-hmm. bring him back. And so they actually were able to bring him back from death. When he came back, I believe that's when he got these extra little guys called the Bamps.
The Bamps.
The little they basically look like little tiny Nightcrawler babies mm-hmm. that run around, and they're important because they help out a lot in this story, or they take part in a lot of this story. But yeah, I didn't realize that he had died, come back, and I kind of want to talk about what caused him to die. I'm going to just read this real quick from the wiki. It says, Nightcrawler spends his sojourn in heaven. So this is clearly after he died, alongside Professor X, who, by the way, folks, if you haven't been keeping up, Professor X is dead as well. But despite enjoying paradise, Nightcrawler continues to feel as though he had unfinished business, remaining on the periphery rather than actually joining the heavenly choir. When Azazel, Nightcrawler's father, mounts an attack on heaven using his connection to Kurt as a door, Nightcrawler instructs a few Bamps to create a portal to heaven inside the Jean Grey School of Higher Learning, allowing him to summon the X-Men to aid him in his fight. Having gathered his friends, Kurt uses the Bamps and his connection to Azazel to restore himself to life back on Earth, thus preventing Azazel from attacking heaven again by tying them both together. Although this results in Kurt sacrificing his own soul to ensure that Azazel will not be able to return to heaven. His welcome back party is subsequently attended by all the X-Men, including Cyclops' branch of the team. Cyclops at this time is on the outs, from what I understand. He's not.
I think this is after Schism.
Okay. So they're not seeing eye to eye, but he comes in and mm-hmm. helps celebrate as well. Despite the tensions between them, Nightcrawler states that he wants all of his family to be present. Nightcrawler later leaves the party to confront Mystique when she is attempting to find and free Azazel, in which she succeeds. Oh boy. Well, just to put the point of that is that he was in heaven. He felt like there was some unfinished business. There's a fight. He brings the X-Men in, and now all of a sudden he's resurrected and he's back to life. All right. All right. Nightcrawler. 2014, issues 1-4. So we open the Nightcrawler honing his skills against Wolverine in the Danger Room back at Jean Grey's School for the Gifted. This starts Kurt's nostalgic journey. Kurt Wagner, by the way. I don't know if we said his full name, but Nightcrawler's full name is Kurt Wagner. I'll be referring to him as Kurt quite a few times through here. But this starts Kurt's nostalgic journey of what the school used to be, and he is then forced to be amidst what the school is now. And of course, the turmoil that plagues his X-Men friends of old. Cyclops has gone rogue. Wolverine has lost his healing factor. Professor Xavier is dead. Kurt then catches up with Rachel Summers, a former teammate from when he was in Excalibur. I think she's like a side timeline daughter of Jean and Scott, if I remember correctly, from the future. So interesting stuff. Then he later looks up a former flame, Amanda Sefton. Shortly after arriving, Amanda is attacked by a large hulking humanoid with the moniker of Trimega. With the assistance of his Bamps, Kurt is able to take down Trimega and Amanda's apartment in the process. The mystery remains as to why Trimega attacked Amanda, but she comes to the conclusion that he may be after Amanda's adoptive mother as well, a sorceress named Margalie. I'm going to pronounce it that, and I hope that, or it could be Margalie, however. The Wizard of the Winding Way. And they must go find her, in hopes to try and protect her if she's going to be attacked. We then are treated to a bit of backstory showing how Amanda and Kurt fell in love as they were raised by Margalie as part of a circus troupe that traveled. As it turns out, the circus continues to this day. Finding and teleporting immediately inside the walls of the circus, they are greeted warmly. They are not greeted warmly. That's important. They are not greeted warmly as previous friends. Hoss, a huge but dim strong man. Is it Fuhrer?
Fuhrer, which okay. is not a very good code name for a German man.
That's what I thought. He's a diminutive flame-spitting man and gummy.
You could say they had a warm greeting.
Well, yeah, okay. Pun intended. Pun intended. And gummy, a lady with stretching powers that, according to Kurt, rival Reed Richards. So they attack first and ask questions later, of course. So there's a big scuttlebutt. And finally, things calm down and everyone is friends again, except for Margaly and Amanda. You could tell there's some kind of mysterious bad blood between the two. We don't know what, but maybe it could be a mom-daughter thing. We don't know. They're just not, you could tell they don't get along. Of course, soon after the reunion, Trimega appears again. Another battle ensues, but this time Trimega has brought, that's right, three friends. And we also, well, a total of three people, so I guess it's two friends. Two friends. And we also learn that Trimega is a robot. So we got a battle, and then Margaly steps in and sends the Trimegas away. And she basically casts them out, and they get sucked into a portal, and they're gone. Amanda and Kurt convince Margaly that she may be safer if they return to Xavier School, to which they do. To say the reception there for Margaly was cold is an understatement. There's a lot of mistrust. Apparently she's done some dirty deeds against the X-Men in the past. We also get more explanation of the trials that Kurt had to go through to be resurrected, one of which was to give up his place in heaven. For a man of faith, I think that's really something to ponder. To actually be in heaven and then be like, okay, well, you know, I'm going back down. Meanwhile, we find that all this time, Amanda was one of the ones not to be trusted. Now, I'm taking this. We could talk about this here after I'm done, but this really confused me because the psychics, which I think was Psylocke and Rachel Summers, are like probing her mind. And then all of a sudden she like lets loose with this blast and blows them backwards. You know, that she's like, I hope I'm not too late. Well, I don't know what she was talking about. And if you guys know what she was talking about, let me know. But she lays them out, basically, because they were trying to verify her intentions. So she lays them out. And then Margaly, who is also on another side of the school, turns out she can't be trusted as well. She turns Storm and Beast into papers and starts peeling these papers away, which actually represent memories from their mind. So just imagine that. You're standing there, you're a physical human being, and then all of a sudden you're just a bunch of post-it notes. That's what pretty much happened to Beast and Storm. During all this chaos, the Trimegas return. Why in the world do these guys keep showing up? Only this time, it's over like 20 of them. There's an army of Trimegas attacking this school. We get a huge battle against the Trimegas. I didn't even look this up. Ronnie, are you familiar with Generation X?
Yes.
Jonathan Starsmore? Is there
Jono? Yeah, I can't remember his code name.
Is he Chamber?
Yes, I'm familiar. Chamber. Yeah.
Ah, okay. All right. I thought so because he always looks like he's throwing up, but he's got this. What do they call it?
It's the big old hole in his face and chest.
Yeah, and it's always sort of stuff coming out of it. Anyway, yeah. I thought that's who that was, but. Jonathan Starsmore's in there. We got the students battling. We got the senior members of the school battling the Trimegas. All sorts of stuff is going down. As they seem to have a handle on things, Wolverine and Kurt go and find Beast and Storm. However, they just find their clothing amongst a pile of scattered papers. Like I said, those papers represent their memories. Amanda appears. Now, Amanda's a sorceress as well. She was taught by Margaly. That's what she's learned, so she's able to actually bring Beast and Storm back, but there's pieces missing. Specifically, Margaly took the memories that show or that represent that they knew Kurt was back from the dead. It is then surmised that Margaly is getting the information she needs in order to find the path the X-Men took to rescue Kurt from the afterlife. What could she want with this information? Well, Kurt immediately bamps out to the schoolyard to find Margaly outside opening up this portal and a Trimega standing there beside her. So all along, these Trimegas were put up to, I assume, distract the rest of the school, and Margaly was in league with the Trimegas, okay? But anyway, Kurt is able to dispatch of the Trimega, knocks Margaly out. However, the portal will not shut down. Amanda understands that it needs to be shut down from the other side, and Kurt grabs her hand and pledges to follow her and get the job done. Now, as they cross the breach, Kurt is thrown back. He cannot enter in onto the other side, and on the other side, Amanda cannot leave. The portal then closes, leaving our hero, Nightcrawler, heartbroken. And that's issues 1 through 4. How long did that take me? Not too bad, 7 minutes. I was hoping for 5. I was hoping for 5. But hey, 1 through 4. So I want to go ahead and I'll turn it over to you, Mark.
I really like this first I kind of hope there'd be more of that in this first six issues, not just the last two. But overall, I thought it was interesting, you know, to hear, see him dealing with this family that he has and his surrogate mother and all of that. So overall, I liked it. I really like the art in this. Like I said, very vibrant, very colorful, very comic booky. With all the seriousness of comic book characters and the way that they're done these days, it was nice to see it.
With such a complex character, well, a character with a complex background, they didn't brush by it. They acknowledged it, but it didn't let it bog down the rest of the story, which I really appreciated. They kind of said, you know, his dad tried to take over heaven. Yeah, that was the whole thing, but, you know, let's pay attention to what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was, it seems like a brush off, but it was kind of like them acknowledging, no, that's going to take a while. So let's pay attention to what's at hand right now. The other thing was, I really, really, really liked the way they got Storm and Beast. The way that she turned him into, it wasn't just like pages, but it almost looked like pages out of a comic book.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So all of their memories was art from a comic book past. So when they were laying there, or when it was forming, when they were transforming, when they were changing into this, you really got to see, you know, the different pages as they were, you know, as it was taking their form and as they were being formed back together by Amanda. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't familiar really with Amanda's character, but he also referred to her as his heart. You know, when she didn't come back, he said, "I've lost my heart." So there was, I wasn't familiar with her, but she was there with him. You know, when he first joined, you know, when he was recruited into the circus, they both viewed the giant lady with the horns. How do you say her name?
Yeah, Margalee.
They viewed her as a mother, but obviously there was some there was a fallout between her and Amanda. And while Kurt was dead, there was some things going on with her and the X-Men. It was, you know, lots of cool character uses of the past characters and getting Kurt used to being back around and his struggle with leaving heaven to be back on Earth.
Mark, what'd you think of the Bamfs?
Oh, the little cherubs?
Yeah.
They're adorable. little naked tushies running around.
Did it take you by surprise that he had these things? Was this something that you did not know was part of continuity?
Well, I didn't even know he was dead and come back to life. So.
Yeah,
he's an X-Man.
I didn't realize that Wolverine had lost his healing factor. I mean, I didn't know what the whole like setup to the series. I had no clue what was going on, but they thankfully, as you said before, they don't really dwell on it either.
Yeah. I mean, they do a decent enough job to flesh out that backstory to give you an idea of what's going through his head at the time, maybe to set up some of the events that occur around there. So yeah, I agree. It's nice that they didn't really, all right, flashback again. They only did that a few times throughout the story, which is cool. Do either of you have an explanation as to why? Because this is probably something I either missed in the comic or it was – because I can easily miss something sometimes. But why did Amanda strike out and lay out the two psychics? Why did she do that to Psylocke and Rachel? Ronnie, do you have any idea?
My best guess was because she knew that they were just going to impede what she was doing.
Okay. So did she know? Did she know? Because at that point, we don't know that Margalee's got the Margalee is planning on doing anything, and it makes me think that she knew previously that Margalee was going to do something, but
she just never did trust her.
Okay. Well, it was strange. It just felt like she said, "Oh, I hope I'm not too late," and then she just, you know, bam, you know, she laid them out and then got up and left like she had something to hide. And like there was something really important for her to do.
No, I'm with Ronnie on this. I think she thought they were going to impede what she was doing, and it was best to just take them out at that point.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as it wasn't something that I missed, which is a lot of times what I worry about. I worry that I missed something, and I'm like, oh, crap. I go back, and I got to check it out. Ronnie, you've got to talk about why you felt so sad at the end of this first four issues, because you came on to the messenger and said, man, that's pretty sad.
Well, I mean, look what he says at the end of issue four. You know, they said, "Are you okay?" He's like, "No, I've lost my heart."
Aww.
I mean, yeah, exactly. This obviously is a woman that he cares deeply for. Therefore, they have to take her away because that's just how the X-Men, you know, that's how they roll.
Sorry.
But, you know, for somebody, okay, you look at the character of Kurt Wagner and, you know, Nightcrawler, and he's, like you said, like we've said before, he's a very devout man of faith. He was even training to be a priest at one time. Totally, I mean, he believes in God, he believes in heaven, and he's obviously looking forward to being in glory one day and in the presence of his Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so to help save friends, though, he makes that ultimate sacrifice, that Christ-like sacrifice of giving up what he wants and what he could be to help save his friends, his loved ones. So not only that, you know, he doesn't know if he has a chance of ever going back. So he gives that up. He comes back, still fears that yearning to go there, to be there. But he's here and he doesn't know what he's given up or if he can ever go back to what he gave up. So at the end of it, she's obviously crossing over and going crossing this portal into heaven. And he can't be with her. He can't go with her. So she does the thing. She closes the portal from the other side. Not only is he separated from where he wants to really be, he's separated from who he really loves, his first love, his heart. So I was like, oh, man, that's devastating. So that's why it was sad to me.
All right, issues 5 and 6. Here we go. Our hero, Nightcrawler, now seeks a new purpose and a new direction. That new purpose right now is devoting his attention to being a teacher for the students of Jean Grey's school. Now, it strikes me, and it shows in this first issue how Kurt can be a very positive man. Is just like you said, Ronnie, he's heartbroken. Not only, you know, has he lost the love of his life, he possibly cannot get into heaven. And there's a point where he starts to feel really sorry for himself, like within these first two pages. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think he sees an image of Jean Grey, Phoenix, who, you know, right then, it's whatever she says to him, it turns him around. And he puts on a smile, goes back in, goes to sleep. Next morning, gets up, puts on a suit and tie. He's going to make the best of what he's got, and that is to be a teacher at Jean Grey School. So he begins by helping the class in battle strategics in the danger room, making sure that the students recognize the importance of keeping their head about them in battle. Meanwhile, in Maryland, at a bar outside of a facility called Narwhal, the North American Robot... North American Robotic Weapon Advancement Lab, a band of mercenary pirates led by a being called Killian, are searching for a woman by the name of Ziggy Karst. The person that put them on this mission is, I'm pretty certain, is like this trans-dimensional being by the name of Vogue. Something Vogue. I can't remember the guy's first name. I've got it written down here.
Vogue, let your body move to the music. Hey, come on.
See what you did.
Vogue. 90s music has been... We didn't even started the podcast. Mark Radulich is singing Salt and Pepper. And then we get it. Now we got Madonna, which I don't know. Did Vogue come out in the 80s or the 90s? Was that the 80s?
Come on, Vogue.
Mark don't care. He does not care.
He does not care.
All right. So Ziggy Karst. Now the person that put them there was Vogue.
On the cover of a magazine.
Kurt.
God almighty, man.
Now back at the school, Kurt is gifted the large plane, the XR-71 Blackbird. This thing's so cool. Man, just imagine if somebody wrote on the side of a plane and gave it to you, Ronnie. Would that not be the coolest shit ever? Yeah.
Let's sell that.
The XR-71 Blackbird, one of the most famous planes in probably comic book history, in my opinion. I'm just putting that out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Kurt knows the plane inside and out. He's worked on the plane. He's a mechanic. And while working on it one night, he's joined by one of his students, Rico, the Scorpion Boy.
he's a scorpion boy because I honestly thought he was a lobster.
He is a scorpion boy. If I had the same thing.
I've got to ask both of you then. What about him screamed lobster with that giant tail with the stinger on it?
I had to go back and see that before I was like, okay, yeah, he's definitely a scorpion. It was not obvious.
Good Lord, man.
So Vogue, come on, move to the music, is the man behind these interdimensional. I think he's interdimensional. I think. Anyway, so.
Dietrich and DiMaggio. Sorry.
Kurt.
Why?
Kurt decides. Why? Hey, let's go for a spin. Let's take the plane for a spin and invites Rico the Scorpion Boy along.
Just now, like a prayer, your voice will take me
take
there.
Take me there.
Like oh, my gosh. We've gone from Vogue to like a prayer.
Just like a dream, you are not what you seem.
What?
Just like a prayer, your voice will take me there. Just like a prayer.
Okay. All right. You're not cutting out anymore.
Through all that, he doesn't cut out. Wow.
So, all right. So, Kurt's in the air, and in mid-flight, Aurora patches in and says, Kurt has to investigate. Are you fucking singing again?
This is the most frustrated I've ever heard, Jesse.
I sat down here for an hour and a half and wrote these notes, and I can't read them because Mark's got to sing Madonna.
Papa, don't preach.
Oh my God.
It's the greatest hits.
Papa, don't preach. All right. I promise I would behave myself.
Yeah. Where's your wife at? She is definitely letting me down because she was supposed to keep you in check.
Oh, she went to bed.
Oh, wow. When the fucking cat's away, the mice will play. All right. Well. So, in the air.
I just have to say, this is more off the rails than any podcast I've ever hosted.
Thank goodness.
I can
goodness.
Hear it calling in the and air.
And there it goes again.
Well, that's not a Madonna song.
We're on to Phil Collins. That's awesome.
Mark Radulich in the 80s. Sings the 80s. In the air. In the air. Shut up, Mark. So Aurora says, hey, you got to check this out. We've got a mutant signature that just popped up. The location, Narwhal Base. The mutant, yeah, Narwhal Base.
Sorry. I just imagine this whale-like creature with a horn, you know, like a giant unicorn horn.
It just so happens that this mutant is Ziggy Karst. Sure enough, the same woman that these pirates are going after. Now, arriving at the base, the pirates are laying waste to the people around them and in their search for Ziggy. Kurt has to convince Rico, this young kid who just came along for a fun ride in the plane, now he's in the midst of a battle. And he has to convince Rico that they need to help the co-workers caught in the crossfire. And with a little bit of metal, the pair go to work. During the battle, the pirates are shooting people left and right, apparently vaporizing them. It isn't until some banter with a lady by the name of Bloody Bess, one of these pirates, Bloody Bess, who really put off a strange Harley Quinn vibe for me. I don't know if she did that for you guys. Okay. He learns that these guns are actually teleporters. So when they're getting shot, yeah, they look like they're getting vaporized, but the people are actually being teleported. Which there's a physics problem I have here. Once we get to the end of this issue, I will bring up. But now just as Ziggy is about to be captured, this new mutant that they just found, Rico busts in and brazenly saves her. However, from behind, Killian zaps her, leaving Rico to believe she has been killed. Kurt steps in and saves the day, putting a stop to Killian, but also coming up with a plan to save the others. He has his BAMFs zap him with the gun. And on the other end of the teleport, he appears on a ship controlled by Tullamore. That's his first name. Tullamore Vogue. Now, of course, we get another battle with a bunch of henchmen. Nightcrawler comes out on top, and he proceeds to rescue all the men and women that were transported there by these pirates earlier. He has all his BAMFs BAMF them back to home, leaving Vogue a vengeful wreck. All right? That's the end. That's the end of our two stories. But pretty much a rest, you know, it's a pirate story. Wouldn't you say, Mark Radulich? This is probably a pirate story, right? It is a pirate story, right, Mark Radulich?
Yes. Yes, it is, Jesse.
Just checking. It hates me tonight. It'll cut out on me, but it won't cut out on him singing. But yeah, this is probably more. Yeah, no. This is more faithful to what you wanted. This is what you wanted, right, Mark? Tell me, not driving me insane, but I'm talking about the more piratey, the more piratey issues 5 and 6. Go ahead, please discuss.
Yes. Yeah, this is what I had been waiting for all six issues. This is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see space pirates. I thought this story would be a little bit longer, but what I liked about it. All right, how much have I been cutting out?
Now you cut out from butt and then to
Great.
it's pissing him off. We're about done. We can do it. Come on.
I like that you have him being a leader and a mentor to the Lobster Boy.
Obviously a scorpion.
Rico the Scorpion Boy.
My ass is a scorpion. That's lobster with pearl onions and butter.
Slather butter on it. All right. Ronnie Adams.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of these two issues?
This was the swashbuckling issues and dealt less with him coming back and just gave him a good old-fashioned adventure to go on. Mm-hmm. And being Kurt, you know, Kurt being Kurt, he is a mentor, is the moral compass of someone else. So,
all right, here's number one thing I want to bring up, which, you know, hey, I pick on my comics sometimes because I, especially Marvel, because the more you know about something, the more you're like, well, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. Or you see some things that just seem kind of strange. Well, number one, we already talked about when he came back, he's now got these Bamfs that come along with him from the dead, who are, you know, yeah, just like Mark called them, they're cherub happy little guys running around helping him out. But one of the other things that I didn't realize is that Nightcrawler can apparently transport across dimensions, because I don't think this guy's out in space. There's a couple mentions about how when the pirates have come down, I wish I could remember what they were called. They had the name of the group. There was a name of the group. But when the pirates were talking to Vogue, and he was like, oh, you're on a mission. You got to go get Ziggy Stardust. And and
Ziggy plays.
There it is. There it is.
But he's like these guys are one of the most powerful in the, between omnidimensional blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh wait a second, this guy's not from our dimension. Where's this guy from? So anyway, when Nightcrawler saves everybody and he's like, hey, let's just go ahead and I'll bamf this all back home. I was like, whoa, wait a second, I didn't know he could like freaking do dimension hopping with this thing.
Ground control to Major Tom.
This podcast has slowly gone to hell.
Slowly? It was burning. It was on fire out the gate, man.
So, Ronnie, have you ever seen him do that before? It usually takes a lot out. I remember I just watched Days of Future Past, but Age of Apocalypse, probably about a month or so ago. And I remember, you know, Nightcrawler, we're talking movie and book. Yeah, totally two separate things there, yeah. Mark Ratliff.
Continuity with characters, the movies are probably not the best.
I remember him though, like he would transport, and if he took a lot of people with him, it exhausted him a lot. So
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it just seemed
continuity. I remember him being very tired after teleporting a lot and tiring out when he teleported other people. But you also through these books and through the continuity, you had people developing secondary powers and all this. So I don't know if that was what it was. I don't remember him. I don't recollect me ever seeing him be a dimensional hopper, but you know.
Okay. All right. My other bit of criticism, which is just stupid and inane, but hey, you know what? I saw it.
Hey, it's your show.
I'm bringing it up. All right. What happened every time somebody got shot with the teleport gun? Mark Ratliff, do you remember what would happen to the people that got shot with the teleport gun in the book?
Let me look.
Yeah, should be able to. Yeah, I think any panel that shows them getting shot.
Yeah, they got turned into Star Trek characters.
Yeah, on the other side, but when they get shot immediately, they disappear and their clothes are left behind. Like they become smoke and their clothes just drop to the floor. Now I'm just saying. They shouldn't be clothed when they pop up on the other side.
Well, no, they were given interdimensional Star Trek uniforms.
If you look at when Nightcrawler gets sent over, he pops over. When he gets shot, they show him immediately over in that other dimension on that ship, and he's got another shirt. Are you telling me that this thing comes supplied with small, medium, extra large teleport emergency shirts?
Well, no.
His explanation is cutting out, and he's going to be pissed.
One size fits all onesie.
Oh, here you go. All right.
That's okay. All we need to hear.
All right. That's kind of the two things that I kind of want to just kind of pick on the story. Well, there's issues 5 and 6. And we covered issues 1 through 6 on one shot. I don't even remember when we started this podcast. It feels like an eternity ago. We've come to the end, at least. Let's give our final thoughts. Give our final thoughts on the book as a whole. And Marcus, was your pick, buddy? Well, we all picked it, but, you know, you definitely wanted to do something for Piratry Week. Tell us what you think of this installment of Nightcrawler here, these stories that we got to talk about.
I very much enjoyed it.
All right. Now, I'm worried that, I'm worried that he might have cut out. Nope. Or, okay. He knows the system's working against him, so he is working with the system. He's a smart man. All right. So, Ronnie Adams, what'd you think, man?
I liked it. I mean, I've always been interested in Nightcrawler as a character. Never got to read much with, you know, by himself. As always with the either Excalibur or he was always pounding around with Wolverine. Wolverine calls him his best friend, which was really it's a really interesting dynamic between those two, and it's kind of toyed with in this as well, because Wolverine is very much the cynical killer. There's only one way out of this, and there's blood, you know, kind of deal. And then Kurt's always looking for, you know, a more peaceful way out.
There's no easy way out.
And there it is. And for them to be best friends and polar opposites, you know, it was really cool to see. You know, it's always cool to see them together. So in the first 4 issues, you had, I think was it in the first 4? No. He and Wolverine sat down and had a beer together. And Wolverine was actually the one, the man talking him down instead of the other way around. He was the voice of reason. He was the voice of telling him to follow his faith and everything else. And Wolverine very much does not have faith. He's, like I said, he's lived hundreds of years. So he's kind of a douche that way. But very jaded.
Yes. Yeah, that was a neat thing. I didn't touch a whole lot on there in the story, but yeah, just to see them two talking. And of course, we open up with them fighting, which they're sparring in the danger room, which is pretty neat. But again, and at the end of issue 6, we kind of get a good idea of where they're at, which I think this is where they're at. But at the end of issue 6, the one I saw, it's at the bottom, it said, next up, the death of Wolverine.
Yeah, this was shortly before the death of Wolverine.
Oh, wow. And you talk about probably got to be some more hard times for Kurt, because he's got to deal with the death of one of his good friends.
If you notice all through this, he talked about having no healing factor. So he had that armor that they made for him, and then it had claws built into it.
That's what I thought. I think at one point he popped his claws in the danger room, but then later on when the Trimegas hit, he's out there battling, but his suit has the claws built into it. So, yeah. I did see that. That's a pretty interesting thing. Folks, if you haven't had the opportunity to read much X-Men around this time, I mean, there were some changes going on that are still felt today. I mean, I don't think Wolverine's been back yet, right?
No, it's been old man Logan the entire time.
Yeah, so we're just on the cusp of some big changes. All right, so with that being said, that concludes our discussion in regards to Nightcrawler and our entry into Pirates. I won't say this again. Hopefully it'll sound right. Pirates Week here on the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Network. Mark Rattlitch, you want to sing your plugs? Because then we will probably hear every single fucking word.
It's very true.
Real quick, because who knows how much of this you're actually going to hear. Tuesday is Damn You Hollywood, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Wednesday, Ailstorm, No Grave But the Sea. Thursday, Ronnie and I are going to discuss Black Sail Season 1. And then Ronnie has a podcast on Friday, the Screaming Boy podcast, where it's going to be a show about the pirates. Movie pirates, yes. TV pirates, butt pirates, what? Whatever you like.
Butt pirates.
Whoa, sir.
That's funny.
No, it's not.
Well, I threw in Video Pirates and Ice Pirates in there.
Ice Pirates.
That's a nice
deep nerdy reference right there. I'm proud of you. All right, Ronnie Adams of the Screaming Boy Podcast, please, sir, your plugs.
Once again, Screaming Boy Podcast. We are not on hiatus. We're trying our best right now. I am. Like I said, I'm down one computer. So should be back pretty soon. You can always catch us on YouTube with our latest episodes. But we will be back on iTunes and everything else here soon. So we just dropped an episode not too long ago. We talked about it last time I was on here with one Josh Calandris, and it was a lot of fun. So we got some good stuff coming up. We're probably going to do our best with this pirate show. It will be about why pirates are cooler than ninjas. So you're gonna have to deal with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Triggered.
They aren't called
Teenage Mutant Pirate Turtles.
They are. They're on a class by themselves. Also, while they are extremely cool, I'm sorry, pirates haven't beat.
All right. Well, hey, I can't wait to discuss that on the show, or at least listen to this discussion and hopefully have the opportunity.
You'll be there, sir.
I will be there.
You'll be there, sir.
With bells on.
Yes.
All right.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and that is it for us. And like I said, we'll be back in full force soon.
All right. Very good. Well, my name is Jesse Starcher. I'm the host of this here podcast called Source Material on the Rattlitchin' Broadcasting Network. Ladies and gentlemen, go give the Rattlitchin' Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. We do MMA. We do video games. We've got Ronnie Adams and the Screaming Boy Podcast on there. We have this show for comic books, music, specifically metal. We also got, my goodness, if you want to talk about wrestling content, Sean Garmer's got us covered, and he's letting us hang out and borrow a bunch of his episodes and bring them on over. We're giving him some content. So if you like wrestling, there's going to be something on this network just for you to listen to. Go ahead.
Through all the shows, I mean, like, we over at Screamboy, we try to cover a myriad of all kinds of different things. We're a pop culture, nerd culture kind of show, and we fit in pretty well with the Rattlitchin' Broadcasting Network. So there's a lot of great stuff that you need to listen to.
Yes.
When I say need to, I really mean that, because there's some great shows. A lot of people don't think I'm metal, but I can be very metal. Jesse Starcher. I've really enjoyed Metal Hammer of Doom. With as much, it's not so much that you all bring a lot of content as far as the albums and everything, but it's also just a lot of fun to listen to, because I believe some other topics were brought this past time on Metal Hammer of Doom.
So were there ever? So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, and Mark talked about the upcoming Ailstorm. And if you guys have not had the opportunity to listen to Ailstorm and you like metal, these guys are hilarious. Now, I was introduced to Ailstorm through the Metal Hammer of Doom, like many metal bands I've listened to. But when you could do pirate metal and you have a Back to the Future reference in the song itself, I mean, I can't wait to hear what your next album's going to be. And by golly, that's dropping tomorrow, so that's going to be the first thing I listen to. And then I can't wait to talk about it on Wednesday. It's going to be a blast. So, I am heading over tomorrow night on Friday. Okay, this Friday, the 26th of May. I'm going over to the Kapow, the Pop Culture Podcast, and sitting down with those boys and recording an episode. Guess what I'm doing, Ronnie Adams?
What are you doing?
Wizard number 9, CBIQ.
I'm so jealous.
I'm sitting down with them, and I'm trying to figure out a way to do it. I'm actually honestly thinking about doing it written test form. Like, I'm gonna make 5 copies, the CBIQ, straight out of the wizard, staple them together, make them circle their choices, and then we're gonna pass it to the next person on their side and let the other person grade the paper as I read the letter or read the answers.
You think I'm kidding, but I'm like legitimately jealous of this.
It's gonna be a blast. I can't wait to find out that, who's Democrats? We found out that RoboCop Cyborg, Terminator, and Deathlok were Republicans last time me and you did it. So what breaking news are we going to find out from 1992, May of 1992, dude?
Well, I may not be as jealous as I was.
We had a good time, man. We did. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in that, that's going to be airing on Kapow, the Pop Culture. Kapow, the Pop Culture Podcast. That's going to be happening sometime soon. So keep your ears out for that. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, make sure to check out represent.com, I believe is what it is, and look for that Fight Rattlitch fight. Just type in Rattlitch at the top, and you can find a snazzy shirt to help our patriarch out with his battle with cancer. Go purchase you a shirt. You'll look good. Fight Rattlitch fight. It's a great hashtag as well. That you can probably find the link there to our discussion on the Facebook page, and it's the pinned post on the Blog Talk Radio page, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, we're on blogtalkradio.com. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. We are on TuneIn Radio and newly podcast formatted Spreaker. We're on Spreaker, ladies and gentlemen, so check that out. All right. I know we have like one live viewer, and I want to thank whoever that is if you stuck around. Appreciate it. I'm not in the chat, and I wish I was. Drop us a line sometime at Stiznarkey on Twitter, at Source MattCast on Twitter, and please subscribe if you haven't already to the YouTube channel. Please, sir. Go.
One last thing. In this, when we talk about fight Rattlitch fight. That is a hashtag, a saying, because like this is a friend of ours, and you just heard him. He is hysterical. He is one of the hardest working men in podcastum. I just made up a new term. And so if you have a few extra bucks and you want a really cool t-shirt, please pull out your wallets and donate, you know, give your money to something good. And this is definitely something good.
Absolutely. 100%. Represent.com/fightrattlitchfight. So check that out. All right. I'm done with plugs. Ronnie Adams, thank you for being here this evening.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And Mark Rattlitch, I'm sorry we had technical difficulties there on our ends. Oh, yeah. I knew it. It's Remy. Remy's sitting here listening to us live.
Remy!
What's up, Remy? From Dueling Ogres, one of my favorite podcasts as well. Hey, I hope you like that. I can't remember the phrase. Hold on. I'm a Jesse, too? Or wouldn't you want... How did it go? Now, I'm going to... Anyway, I hope you're enjoying your shirt. I know Remy didn't win it, but he has to wear it, I think, with his podcast partner, if I remember correctly. But hope it fits well. I got to see it in person. Anyway.
Remy, I'm still waiting for the Dueling Ogres to name a t-shirt after me.
My boy Remy.
I mean, come on, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, go check out Dueling Ogres while you're at it. Hey, give them some love. Dueling Ogres. All right, we're out of here. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you for putting up with our nonsense. We'll catch you later. Hey, happy birthday, Melinda Starcher. I love you, baby. Happy birthday. Have a good one. Bye-bye.